Hi everybody and welcome back to another one of my 78 RPM podcasts. Maybe I should begin this time by saying if you enjoy this program, don't forget to send the link to all your friends. Well, looking back 100 years or so ago, a form of entertainment, or should I say a form of act that no longer seems popular, was the male impersonator. The only thing we have left like that is the principal boy in this strange form of entertainment in England known as pantomime every Christmas, where the main love interest is played by a girl who is able to therefore to show her legs because she's supposed to be a man. This is a strange throwback to things 100 years ago. However, in the music hall of those days, it was quite a popular act to have women dressed up as men and basically making fun of men and the way they behaved towards women. And it was part a sort of sexual turn on and part, I suspect, a sort of satire against men. Either way, it worked. Hetty King was one of them, but possibly the most famous of these male impersonators was Vesta Tilly. She was born Matilda Alice Powles in 1864 and she survived till 1952. So she had a pretty long life for somebody born that long ago. I mean, she was born 10 years before Caruso. By the time World War I came around, she was already in her early 50s and she had one of her major hits, which was to dress up, not as she had been doing, as a sort of posh gentleman around town with evening dress and a top hat, but as a soldier, because obviously World War I was on, and this song was called Jolly Good Luck to the Girl Who Loves a Soldier. And as you'll hear in the song, the character says, well, if you want to love a soldier, love me. This is then Vesta Tilly, at the height of her fame, recorded in 1915, and it still works. You can hear the way she must have performed on stage, and it's still enjoyable. Some things date, but this sort of still works, I think. Vesta Tilly.
Boys are weak, girls, it's you.
Vesta Tilly, who survived to live, I think, 88 years old. So she had a long life, as I say. Vesta, by the way, that was a form of safety match. Why she chose that name as her first name, I don't know. But as I said before, her real name was Matilda, and Tilly was, in those days, a sort of shortened form of her real name, Matilda Tilly. Vesta Tilly. Well, she was born, as I say, in the 1860s. Our next artist, this is going to be one of those lurches for which I'm hoping my podcast become well known. This artist was born in 1892, was one of the great operatic basses, and very, very good looking to boot, and apparently a little bit of a womanizer. But I suppose if you've got it, you might as well flaunt it, as they say. Ezio Pinza was an Italian operatic bass. He was in the tradition of previous Italian basses such as Francesco Navarini, Vittorio Arimondi, and especially Nazareno De Angelis, who were a little bit before him and had that same sort of smooth, deep, wonderful, rich voice. Though perhaps Pinza was the greatest of them all. His nearest rival in his own time was Tancredi Passero, whose voice was sort of like Pinza's but had a slight vibrato in it, which can be a little bit annoying sometimes. He was also a sort of more serious singer and lacked Pinza's, what should we say, charisma. Pinza's voice faded towards the end of his life. He died quite young anyway, at 64. But for the last 10 years of his life, he stopped doing opera to a large extent and went for the popular market. He even had his own TV show for a while. But what really made his name was when he accepted a part in a brand new musical, as it was then, called South Pacific. He played the part of a Frenchman in it, even though he was Italian, but probably Americans didn't know the difference between one accent and another. In any case, he was a huge success in the part and won what's called a Tony Award around 1950. However, appearing every night was not like appearing in opera where you sang every two or three nights, and I have a feeling that it didn't do his health very much good at all. Nevertheless, he recorded the two big songs in South Pacific, and I'm going to give you his inimitable version of Some Enchanted Evening. Nobody sang it like Pinza. Here it is.
Sight and make him your own. you have found her, never let her go. Once you have found her, never let her go.
The great Ezio Pinza. Well, go back 20 years. On the 8th of February, 1928, the very well-loved band leader called Paul Whiteman went into the studio with his band, or at least the band went in. I'm not even sure if he was there with them. Paul Whiteman was known as the King of Jazz, which he certainly wasn't, and he was aware of the fact that he wasn't. But he liked to use some of the best jazz talent within his orchestra, which was a strange mixture of very modern harmonies, a bit of jazz, sweet music for dancing, whatever it was very commercial and he was very successful. But he was well loved because he liked to give some of his jazz talent the freedom to do what they wanted now and then. On this record, you get a very young Bing Crosby when he was still part of the Rhythm Boys. You get Frankie Trumbauer and you get the immortal Bix Beiderbecke, and they're doing a song called There Ain't No Sweet Man Worth the Salt of My Tears. Bing Crosby actually singing a female lyric. It's a wonderful record. It's got that strange mixture of modern harmony, which somehow still sounds very dated. And then out of the middle of it all comes this fantastic sound, which is Bix Beiderbecke's cornet, which somehow could have been recorded yesterday. It's just fresh. And as somebody said once, it's like a young girl dancing down the street. Wonderful. Here we are then, back in 1928. The very unique sound of Paul Whiteman's orchestra.
Like a leaf on a tree that's coming loose from the stem, shaking like a leaf on a tree, because I'm coming loose, my man. I'm like a weeping willow, weeping on my pillow. For years and years there ain't no sweet man that's worth the salt of my down and down he dragged me like a fiend, he nagged me. For years and years there ain't no sweet man that's worth the salt of my ba-da-da-ba-da-da-da. Although I may be blue, still I'm through. I must tell him goodbye rather than have that man gonna lay me down and just die. Now, broken hearted sisters, aggravated misters, lend me your ears. There ain't no sweet man that's worth the salt of my ba-da-da-da, wa-da-da, ba-da-da, da-da, ba-da, wa-da, wa-da-da-da, wa-da. Thank you.
Bix Beiderbecke, Bing Crosby, and the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. You know, there was something very special about the Paul Whiteman Orchestra. It wasn't like any other dance band. It had its own sound. So whatever it was, whether it was jazz, dance music, or whatever, I still think it was pretty special. And I think it's been sort of hard done by the critics, just because he wasn't jazz in the sense that we understand it now. Okay, let's stop talking because I want to play a really long track now. During my podcasts, I've already played you a track of the great tenor Tino Patiera, born in Croatia in 1890, who died in 1966. Film star looks and one of the finest tenor voices of which I know. Just occasionally his Germanic training would spoil his attack and phrasing when singing Italian opera, which is a shame. But when he got it right, he was superb. And often he got it right when in the company of Meta Seinemeier. Meta Seinemeier was a German soprano. Unlike her singing partner, she died very young. Indeed, she was born in 1895 and died in 1929, I think, of some form of cancer, although it's not very clear. During the 20s, during the Weimar Republic, just before the Nazis came to power, there was this renaissance of Italian opera in Berlin, and these two were the stars of it. This is the love duet from Otello, Già nella notte densa, and I really don't know of a better version. Even though it's 8 minutes long, I want you to hear it, so here it is.
Oh,
Tino Patiera and the doomed, you might say, Meta Zainamaya in the late 20s. That, to me, is one of my Desert Island discs. It's an amazing piece of singing. Verdi's Otello, the love duet. I don't know a better version. Well, jumping forwards 30 years, and another young lady died very, very young. I now have read that Zainamaya died of leukemia. Alma Cogan, on the other hand, died of cancer at the height of her career as a pop singer. I can think of three Jewish pop singers with big voices who have become successful in the UK. One has died recently, even younger, but that was really due to her own self-neglect, drugs, alcohol, the lot, and that's Amy Winehouse. Helen Shapiro, who recorded one of my songs in the 60s, is happily still alive and well in her 60s, but poor Alma Cogan, no such thing. She was just about the biggest pop star there was in that strange time in the 50s before Elvis Presley and rock and roll and then the Beatles changed what pop music meant. So she was famous for doing, oh, American songs, novelty songs, etc., etc. In fact, the one I'm going to play you today, which is called This Old House, was really a hit for Rosemary Clooney, with this wonderful bass singer singing the main title line, which made it even more of a novelty. But Alma Cogan's version came out about a year later, in the mid-50s. She first recorded in the very early 50s, and before long, her easily recognizable voice with a giggle in it got her the sobriquet, the girl with a giggle in her voice, and it wasn't long before she was starring all over the place. She survived into the 60s when her career began to go downhill because she wasn't really a rocker. Nevertheless, she used to entertain the Beatles a lot in her flat, amongst other people, I should add, in Knightsbridge, and in fact they were very fond of her, and I think they used to call her Auntie Alma because she was just that bit older than they were. Well, this is typical of her output in the 50s. I think this was a minor hit for her. As I say, the main hit with this was Rosemary Clooney's, but it gives you a good idea what she sounded like. And she also, by the way, was on the radio a lot, and she was teamed up with a comedian who again is happily still with us, and indeed one of the most cherished names in comedy, June Whitfield. June Whitfield and Alma Cogan were often on the radio together and sort of paired together for some reason or other, probably because they were in the same program. Anyway, enough of me nattering on. Alma Cogan, ladies and gentlemen.
This old house once knew his children, this old house once knew his wife. This old house was home and comfort as they fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter, this old house heard many shouts. Now he trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer, ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't I got time to fix the shingles, ain't I got time to fix the floor. Ain't I got time to oil the hinges, nor to mend no window panes. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer, he's getting ready to meet his fate. This house is getting shaky, this old house is getting old. This old house lets in the rain, this old house lets in the cold. Oh, his knees are getting chilly, but he feels no fear nor pain. Cause he seeks a new tomorrow through a golden window pane.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer, ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't I got time to fix the shingles, ain't I got time to fix the floor. Ain't I got time to oil the hinges, nor to mend no window panes. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer, he's a-getting ready to meet his fate. This old house just groans and trembles when the night wind flings its arms. This old house is a-getting feeble. This old house is a-needing paint. Just like him, it's a-tuckered out. He's getting ready to meet his fate.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't I got time to fix the shingles. Ain't I got time to fix the floor. Ain't I got time to oil the hinges, nor to mend no window panes. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer. He's a-getting ready to meet his fate. Ain't I gonna need this house no longer, he's a-getting ready to meet his fate.
Alma Cogan, who I think is a little bit undeservedly being forgotten. She was a singer of great talent, and who knows, she could have developed into one of the great singers of the American songbook had she been given a chance. Well, now a complete lurch to a different sort of recording completely. When we think about world wars, we immediately think about Hitler and that toothbrush moustache. But had we been living in 1930, the moustache we would have thought of would have been quite different, a larger upturned one, and that one belonged to the Kaiser, Wilhelm II, the German Emperor. He's a complicated character. He was Queen Victoria's grandson. In fact, his mother was English, and he may have turned against the English somewhat because he had a withered arm and he blamed his mother's use of an English doctor for that. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what he felt. He had a very Prussian upbringing, which was very militaristic, and when he finally got to power, there was a lot of conflict with the great man of German politics of that time, Otto von Bismarck, whom he finally got rid of, and in 1890 put Germany into a very aggressive form of foreign policy, which culminated in his supporting Austro-Hungary, and of course that led to World War I, and all the fault of that war was laid at his feet, and he had to resign from being the German emperor in 1918. He did, however, survive till 1941. He was in fact born in 1859, so for those days 82 wasn't a bad lifespan. He was no Hitler, let's make that clear straight away, and his speech was far from the way that Hitler spoke. There seems to be very little of him on record, but here is a really, really short bit where he seems, my German doesn't really exist, but he seems just to be sending a greeting to the German people, if I've got it right. Here he is anyway. Where this recording comes from, I'm not sure. When it was recorded, I don't know, but it's fascinating to hear the actual voice of Kaiser Wilhelm II.
Den Leuten, dem deutschen Volk, die besten Wünsche sind mir und der Kaiserin zu bringen. Gott sei mit euch und möge unser geliebtes Vaterland immer hervorragend und das mächtigste Land der Erde sein.
Kaiser Wilhelm II, is it my imagination, or is there something rather sad about the way he speaks? My guess is that that was recorded after he left power, and he sounds rather like an old, broken man. Well, that recording was so short that I've actually got room for a little bonus. I've mentioned before that a lot of the American popular singers of the early years of the 20th century were more famous for their recordings than perhaps for their live performances. And though Isabella Patricola did indeed perform live, she sometimes did so with a 25-piece orchestra, I still think that she was better known on record than perhaps she was live. I have a feeling she was based around Chicago, but I may be wrong about that. She was in any case born in 1886 and died in 1965, and like Ada Jones, she enjoyed a lot of her success by singing comic songs quite often with accents. And one of her favourite accents was, of course, and she probably came from Italian stock, her slightly exaggerated Italian accent songs. In the early 20s, there was a massive hit, which was Yes, We Have No Bananas, that sort of nonsense novelty song. And it was everywhere, and it must have been getting on people's nerves in the end, rather in the way that Achy Breaky Heart, that ghastly country song of a few years ago, got on everybody's nerves, certainly in the UK at any rate. So here she is singing a song about just that, being fed up with hearing Yes, We Have No Bananas, and this was recorded in 1923, I believe, and is a good example of her particular art. Here goes then.
I keep hearing nothing but yes, we got no bananas. And I like to find the guy who composed that lullaby. Yes, we got no bananas. I wish that I could go to a cabaret or show where someone wouldn't come along and sing to that doggone song. I got the ear, we got no banana blue. I got the blues. Hey, don't you hear it? I must hear it. It's like a bad news. It's know I've got the one to beat up, and I go crazy when they come in. Bananas, bananas, I wish I could break up all the pianos. Day by day and week by week, it's a yes, we got more bananas. Every time a Greek meets Greek, it's a yes, we got more bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A, yes. Kaboosh, hey, take them away. I got the yes, we got no banana blues. Today, Capri cuts an apple, a food at 2 weeks. Tomatoes and potatoes, they can't have pity. Onions and cabbages, peaches and plums. I can stand for any kind of fruit that comes. Yesterday, somebody kept asking me, say, what's a vegetable that starts with a P? I gave it up, and I asked him to yell. When he said bananas, I just had to tell.
Isabella Patricola, and though that isn't the blues, despite the title of the song, it does show a fairly early influence of jazz on popular music. 1923 is only about 3 or 4 years after the very first jazz recordings were made, and already jazz was taking over the general tenor of American popular songs. Well, it only remains for me to give you my track. This is actually going out virtually on my birthday, so as you know, the present I'd like from you, as always, is for you to pass on the link to this podcast to all your friends. We've only got about 30-40 regular listeners, and I think the quality of music on the 78th really deserves a lot more. It ought to be viral. So, please, send the link to 10 of your friends, and maybe they'll do the same, and it can build up that way. So please do that. What shall I give you as my track? This is one I recorded some years ago now, and one of my few, I suppose, real up-tempo songs. This is what you might call a rocker, I don't know, pop rock. I don't know what these pigeonholes mean anymore. The meaning of words seems to change every decade. However, I call this pop rock, and this is a song I recorded some couple of decades ago, actually, and it's called I Think of You. And I'm thinking of you right now, so pass on that link, and I'll speak to you again next month. Until then, au revoir.
From the misty pictures in my mind, I can unwind. I think of you. From the smoke that swirls before my eyes, I clear the skies. I think of you. When we're down and feeling low, we all need a place to go, somewhere where our minds can all run free. Some may need a melody, others need a rhapsody, but I found my own eternity. On the past, the die is cast. confusion in my brain. You still remain, I think you. When we're down and feeling low, we all need a place to go, somewhere where our minds can all run free. Some may need a melody, others need a rhapsody, but I found my own eternity. From the messy pictures in my mind, I can